So in this session, we are going to talk about podcast best practice. And as you can imagine, this is a topic that is very close to my heart, having now recorded, I think we're up to about 430 episodes of my own podcast. So I'm not going to necessarily share my experience and my journey, but as part of having a podcast that is now quite deep into the archives of marketing and mindful marketing and mindful living, which tend to be the focuses of my particular subject matter and interviews. I'm going to share with you some of the research and some of the background kind of reading and attention really that I've been giving to what we might term best practice. And of course, this is going to be something that is evolving over time, but I think it's quite important to make sure that when you kind of considering podcasting as potentially a marketing channel or a way of developing thought leadership, that you're actually working with something that is relatively up to date in terms of trends and the way that podcasting as a medium for marketing and communications, how it's actually evolving. And for me, this is really about kind of unlocking some of the opportunity. I still would be very much advocating that podcasting is a mechanism by which you can get a message out in a very uncluttered, unbusy state. And it is a channel that is still, I would say, underutilized by many marketers. I think there is a huge opportunity here for getting this thing into the marketing communications mix. And so what we're going to do here is kind of uncover some of the things that you can do almost in a step-by-step journey, if you like, for understanding what podcasting is, potentially what it also isn't, I think, for most of us, and then learning from some of the more successful examples so that you can prepare to launch your own or develop your own if you have already started on this particular journey. So why podcasting? What kind of evidence is there that this would be a good thing to do? Well, 2/3 of the US population has listened to a podcast. 2/3 of the US population. So these are American statistics, but still, I would say, very much applicable across the planet. And this has grown from around about 50% or early 50% since the kind of lockdown years, as it were. So we're still seeing that podcasting is in a big growth curve. It is trending in the right direction and reaching a large and very much a growing audience of listeners. Apparently, 93% of podcast listeners listen to almost all of each episode. So there's a really, really great opportunity here for demonstrating high engagement with this as a content stream. So unlike the typical kind of social media consumption of content, which has typically become shorter and shorter, faster and faster as years have gone by, the trend of podcasting content is going in the opposite direction. So if you're looking to get deep, intimate, high levels of engagement on the long term, then you are going to be seeing a lot of value coming through with podcast content. From a revenue perspective, podcast advertising, for example, is expected to exceed $4 billion as we go through the rest of this year. So it is a strong indicator there that marketing investment in the medium is still really yet to peak, because we're seeing this is almost doubled in the last couple of years. So there are all big organizations, there are brands who are now leveraging podcasting as a revenue generating channel. So for some of us, it is on the journey of engagement and it is part of our customer journey. And so it is all part of communications and establishing ourselves and our messages in an appropriate way with our audiences. But for some brands and some organizations and some people, it is also about leveraging this as a revenue generating tool as well. So there's potentially some opportunity and some choices for you to think about. Irrespective of that, 54% of podcast consumers say they're more likely to consider brands they hear advertised on podcasts. So this isn't necessarily just about you thinking through creating your own podcast channel, interviewing others, having webinars that are recorded, and actually communicating messages. It could also be that you're thinking about this as a promotional advertising channel. So associating and aligning yourself with podcasters who are tapping into an audience that you'd like to attract and engage with. Because 54% of podcast consumers say they're more likely to consider brands they hear advertised on podcasts. So that is really significant. And you think about the attention that you're getting here in the long term from a podcast piece of content versus maybe passing very quickly a digital advertising banner or in the real world, you know, a poster, for example. The engagement level here is very much more significant as a channel. Podcasts can ads can effectively drive purchase intent is the big message there. And 38% of small and medium-sized business owners are podcast listeners. So if your target audience is what we would call SMB, small to medium-sized businesses, then the podcast reaching a valuable audience of business decision makers is a very clear message coming out of that 38% podcast listener statistic there. So adding podcasts to the marketing mix can really improve potentially overall campaign effectiveness. And apparently, according to a survey of marketers, by up to 40%. So if you add in around maybe a traditional email campaign or a traditional social media campaign, you add in the footprint of a podcast, then you are going to get a more effective overall campaign. And that is being, you know, seen as evidence, really tangible evidence by nearly a half of marketers who have tried this. So this stuff works is the bottom line, is really what we're saying. So let's kind of define what we actually mean when we say podcast, because we need to think to be very, very clear here. So podcasting is a digital medium in which audio and or video content. So that's a key thing. It's not just audio. I think a lot of people think podcasting is just audio. We're talking video as well here. Is streamed or downloaded for listening or viewing on personal devices, offering on-demand access to a variety of interests. Okay, so that's something really key here. So it's video and audio on demand through personal devices. So literally in the palm of the hand of your target audience based on the interests that they have. So again, this targeting, this really kind of pinpoint laser focused attention is a key thing that you literally cannot get, or it's very, very hard to get from other channels of communication. Jane Lee, podcast consultant, says, think of podcasting as the new radio, but one where you control what plays, when it plays, and how often it plays. And we'll talk in a minute about the kinds of content, the length of content, the kind of frequency of how often you should be publishing new podcast episodes, because there is this kind of sweet spot of getting it absolutely right for your audience. But think of it as a new radio. Think of it as, you know, you owning a radio station where you are in complete control over the content that goes out. And again, much as YouTube has changed video consumption, if you like, away from mainstream terrestrial television, for example, the podcasting is changing the way that we consume audio predominantly, but also video content. And you are in charge. So as of 2024, there are over 2 million podcasts with over 48 million episodes available globally. So it's pretty significant, but it is not oversaturated. You compare that with some of the mainstream social media channels, and you're talking about a very focused, relatively tight, potentially very niche service here, a channel where you can control everything that happens. And so it can be really, really targeted. 75% of UK adults are familiar with podcasting, with 25% listening weekly. So somewhere in that 75% of the adults in the UK who are familiar with podcasting are your decision makers, your budget holders, the people who you, for your product and service, are going to be attracting. So don't just necessarily think of them when they're wearing their business hat, if you're in B2B. You can also be thinking of it when they have downtime, because podcasting is one of those really interesting channels that translates across and outside of the day job. People are going to be listening to podcasts, viewing podcast content when they're commuting, when they're at home, when they're cutting the grass, cutting the lawn, when they're out for a walk in the park, when they're off for a cycle ride. They'll be listening to potentially also business podcasts. Now, I've got personal evidence of this. You know, I'm often contacted by people who say, oh, I was listening to your podcast while I was out for a run. And I'm thinking, hold on, this is a business podcast. It's not a consumer podcast. And you're consuming it when you're out for a run. So that might sound really quite strange and quite, less obvious in terms of like a marketer's assumptions about how the content's being consumed, but it is the truth. And I'm finding this is an increasing pattern. So podcasts, in terms of the impact on marketing, according to the research, can increase brand recall by 80%, making them a powerful tool for marketers looking to deepen engagement with their audience. Now, this is interesting because I've got a very simple but very kind of quite profound experience that I had. I was with my wife staying in a hotel a few months back, and we were approached at breakfast by one of the waiting staff, and she said, excuse me, I hope you don't mind me asking, but have you got a podcast? And of course, it was one of those moments where it was, holy smoke, I've been recognized. Oh my goodness. I thought it was just a marketing podcast. And she said, because when you checked in to the hotel last night, I've been racking my brains to try and figure out where I recognize you from, because I knew you were familiar. I can't recognize you from how you look. It was your voice. And she said, and then it kind of just fell into place. And I recognized your voice from your podcast. And so I just had to ask, was it actually you? And she said, because my sister shared with me a podcast on, and I can't remember the topic specifically. She said, but it was a really good podcast, really enjoyed it. You had a really great guest on. And it just left me thinking that the reach beyond, and this was obviously advocated by her sister, the reach beyond the initial audience to then actually be identified and me as a brand, personal brand, be recalled by somebody who has never met me, never really actually seen me, but just purely from the voice. So this whole idea of increasing brand recall by 80% is, you know, something I've actually seen in practice. So for me, it could be, well, what is this going to mean for you? What kind of things could you do? So if you're a bigger brand, a more well-known presence, if you're, you know, a market leader or market challenger in your particular sector, just think what this might open up. Because if I've been able to do it for my little personal brand here, I wonder what you could do for yours. So where do you begin? If you decide that this is something that could play a part or you'd like to test it out, where do you begin? Well, the first thing to do is to start planning it out. Don't just jump in yet. Start to plan out a series and some episodes. So develop a concept. Start with your target audience in mind. Who are they? What are their pain points? What are their interests? What are their entertainment preferences? And tailor your content and this starting point to meet these needs. So figure out, what could I help them with? Now, if you already got a thought leadership proposition, you've already got a very clear content strategy, pick something that you think could resonate from a podcast perspective. So this is long form content. And how do you structure something like this? Well, consistency is going to be key in your podcast. So decide whether you fancy this as being a weekly, maybe bi-weekly, or maybe a monthly episode that fits best with your content and your audience. Now, you might need to play around with this. You might need to experiment. You might not get this right first time. I certainly didn't. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. But you need to kind of start somewhere. So decide, you know, based on the resources and the time available, just think about, okay, let's create something that maybe is a three episode series. And we're going to do this on a maybe bi-weekly basis over the next 6 weeks, and we're going to put this particular content out and we're going to see what happens. We're going to watch and intensely watch kind of what happens and see how people respond, see if anybody talks about it, see if we can get some click-throughs from the links that we put in the show notes, and just watch. So starting off by planning something very simple, very short and very precise is definitely the best way to begin. Then the next step is to decide, is this video and or audio? So whilst audio podcasts are much more accessible and require less production effort, video podcasts can lead to higher engagement, particularly if you want to also put this same content out on platforms like YouTube, for example. So when we're talking about podcasts, we're talking about Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, typically. Now, the one out of those three where you are going to be able to get both audio and video choice for your listeners is Spotify. So Apple Podcasts currently is only audio, same for Google Podcasts, but for Spotify, you have then the option as a listener to consume your content, your podcast, by audio or video. So it opens up that option and that opportunity. But you might decide, we're just going to start with audio content, because of course, audio podcasts are ideal for, you know, deep dives into subjects without any visual elements. Whereas clearly, if you're going to do a video podcast, I mean, those are going to be great for tutorials, for interviews, or anything that has what you might term dynamic content. So make a choice. Maybe this particular sort of test series of maybe three episodes that you're going to do. I don't think one podcast episode is going to give you enough information or data. So you probably have to do three. Maybe more than that is a little bit of overkill. You should get a sense of how it feels to do it and the kind of responses that you're going to get by doing probably, I would say, three. That's probably going to be a good starting point for you. And then it's about, okay, so what's the key theme? Because if we've got this little mini series that we're putting together, then really what we want to do is kind of almost sort of be establishing some form of thought leadership. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, it's choosing a particular topic or a particular title or a particular kind of content overarching message that will give you a direct line to establish some credibility and build some trust, really, with your audience. And because you're going down a thought leadership route, you're going to be addressing some niche topics, and you're going to do them at a specialist and or expert kind of level. So you're going to go deep. You're not going to cast the net wide here, because the whole idea of podcasting is to be identifiable for some niche conversations, some niche interviews, some niche education or information. The broader you go, the trickier it's going to be to attract a target audience. So you have to kind of accept that you are not going to be appealing to everybody. You are going to be consciously focusing, consciously niching your topics. So sharing your knowledge on a podcast will not only build your brand, but also sets you apart as a leader in your field. That's Dr. Emily Tran, who is a digital strategist, who said that quote. So if you're looking to be set apart as a leader in your field, either personally or as a team or as a brand or as a company or an organization, then this is a great way of differentiating yourself from the competition. And that is one of the key things in the whole kind of podcasting mix. So the thought leadership topic that you choose for this first little mini series is going to be key. For me, in mine, the two kind of key mantras that I always focus on are mindful living and mindful marketing. So I have this kind of blend between just being awake in your marketing and awake in your sort of personal living. So the kind of interviews I do are about personal development and professional development for marketers or business developers or business owners. So it's quite a niche kind of subtopic that comes in underneath the broader kind of marketing category, if you like. And really then that kind of is the filter for the guests that I might want to choose and pick to come on the shows, the kinds of topic areas that I'm always on the lookout for new content, and the things that I need to keep abreast of when I'm actually doing my research. So it helps you to plan, it helps you to focus and filter, but it just gives you that kind of confidence of having the playing field that is going to be relevant to the audience. And that leads into then scripting your interviews or running webinars. So deciding kind of the right sort of format of how you're going to then run the content and actually then produce the episodes. So your formats, you know, scripted interviews will ensure that things remain consistent and focused, while webinars are going to obviously allow for kind of some real-time interaction potentially and some engagement. So you need to choose what the format is that's going to work for you. Now, the interviews one is quite an interesting one, particularly at the early stages. I mean, when I set my podcast up initially and I listened back to some of the very, very early, the first 10, 15, 20, episodes, it was very much about me doing webinars and publishing content out there. It wasn't until I got to about episode 20 or so where I started to begin to explore how to do interviews and actually being the podcast host in the truest sense of the word. And yeah, it wasn't really scripted, but I did have example questions that I knew I wanted to ask of my guests. But now, 430 odd episodes later, I very much do it in free form. So it is very much, I've got a content topic at the start of the show, but then we go as a conversation. So I've kind of evolved my style as I've gone through those days. But I wouldn't have suggested at any time I could have done that right from the off. So I think it is about building into it, and certainly having a script, having a structure in those early days allows you then to not only keep the audience engaged and keep things interactive, but also it allows you to stay confidently on point. So you don't kind of drift away and kind of lose both the guest, your flow, but also then the audience as well. And when we're talking about that, it comes on to the next thing, is kind of what is the best kind of length of a podcast? Now, depending on who you ask, and there's a load of research that is actually quite conflicting. You'll find this in podcasting. The analytics, I'm not completely convinced by. The research, I'm not completely convinced by. And a lot of this is by trial and error, if we're being perfectly honest. But there generally seems to be a consensus that the ideal podcast length typically across the board tends to be around 20 to 30 minutes. Keeping in mind the average commute time, interestingly, because a lot of people allegedly do listen to podcasts when they're commuting. So they could be driving in the car, they could be sat on a bus, on a train, they could be cycling. You know, a lot of people are commuting and consuming podcast content. However, where I sit with mine, and it's kind of typically for deeper topics where you want to go and a deeper dive into a specific topic, 60 minutes can be, well, up to 60 minutes can be effective. Now, you will see sort of Tom Bilyeu and people like Joe Rogan are going on for like 2 to 3 hours in their podcast episodes. I don't think I'm ever going to go there for a whole raft of different kind of obvious reasons, I'm sure. And you may not choose to do that either. I think there's something quite natural about a 40 to 50 minute length that kind of implies that, hey, this is a long but detailed but deep conversation. 20 to 30 minutes, it kind of feels like you're whetting the appetite. And of course, you know, 1 minute or so is the short that promotes it. So that typically, I think, kind of is a nice balance. In terms of then how you do it, well, the first thing that you need to be thinking about is the space and actually recording in somewhere that is relatively quiet. You do find podcasts, and I'll talk about a few examples in a minute, of podcasts that are very much done kind of out and about. Gary Vee, for example, is often recorded sort of out at events, at conferences, in lobbies of, you know, hotels where he's chatting to somebody. And those are kind of soundbite type podcasts where they're collated together into an episode where they're kind of like multiple sound bites on a particular theme. But for most of us, recording in a quiet room with soft furnishings to reduce the echo. So don't be in a kind of an echoey room. Make sure that the room has got carpets, has got maybe some kind of soundproofing or curtains rather than blinds, for example, to just absorb that echo and reduce away the hollow sounding. And you are going to need to play with that. Investing in a good microphone to ensure audio clarity might be stage 2. It might not be something you do initially. And for a lot of people, they're recording literally off of their computer or their Mac, or even into the voice memo on their phone. I know some of the earlier episodes that I did, I was recording straight into my phone, and that was perfectly adequate. Again, you know, it is about horses for courses. You know, you are going to find something that kind of works for you. So I'm not advocating necessarily investing at the outset in any complicated equipment, but you will need to possibly bear that in mind if you want to take things to the next stage. So how do you then, having done the recording, hopefully in a very kind of simple sort of way, how do you then sort of begin to either collect and or edit that information? Well, some of the platforms, which I'll talk about in a minute for distribution, Spotify, for example, has a platform where you are able to edit and distribute within the same piece of software. But Audacity for beginners is really appropriate due to its free and open source nature. So if you search Audacity, that will give you a lot of functionality to edit. So what you're going to want to be doing is reducing echo to clip the front and the end of the particular audio file that you've recorded. And if you want to take things up to the next level and start to play with the kind of sound levels, isolate particular noises or clicks or hisses, and then something like Adobe Audition has a lot more advanced features. So you might want to begin to play with that one as well. That could be interesting. You need to be looking, though, if you are going to do some editing on the audio and or video, for some software that supports multi-track editing, noise reduction, and then seamlessly integrating, obviously, with your hardware. So you need to be finding stuff that's compatible with the way that you want to record this. But again, this is a step two. Step one is, let's just get some audio recorded and let's just publish it and see what happens. You know, nobody in the first episode is going to say that that is what we're expecting from you forever. People will expect and will accept that you're piloting. And even if you position it as pilot episode one of series one, you know, people will expect that it is going to be a little bit raw, and raw is fine. I do find, actually, with that in mind, that I don't tend now to put music at the front and music at the end and intros and outros and all these kind of things. I just do the conversation, and I find that actually resonates with my audience because it gives them a time and a chance to get straight to the detail. So we don't have these long, waffly, overindulgent kind of intros where 5-10 minutes passes before you start to get to the content, which, of course, often in many podcasts includes a load of promotional stuff. I keep that only in the show notes. In other words, the description of the podcast, because then it's a discretionary thing. If people are interested, they can look and read up. But if not, they just get to the content. And I find that has been a way that's really worked for me to build the audience and also the credibility and trust that I'm not wasting their time. So along with the software, you've got to think about the hardware. So I've said that, you know, first base is very much your phone or your computer as you've got it right now. But you can also start to get, if you want to go a little bit deeper, and you can shop around for some, you know, some really, really high quality kit that is not even necessarily what you'd term professional level, although you can go to that level if you want to. But what you need is a condenser microphone, some kind of filter that stops the hissing and the popping that actually typically happens. And that's just like a little filter that sits between your mouth and the microphone. And if you don't get a microphone that will automatically do this, then that little piece of filter, which again comes as standard with a lot of microphones nowadays, will make a big, big difference. And of course, as I've said earlier, some soundproofing materials, particularly surrounding the microphone. And if you are doing this just purely through audio, it doesn't matter what all this stuff looks like. So you can create yourself with some very, very low budget, they're called sort of egg box style soundproofing material. You can make yourself a little booth where you can stick your head in literally, and you can put the microphone in, and it will muffle out any and mute out any kind of background superfluous noise. So you can sound super cool if you're just doing audio. A little bit more tricky when it comes to the setup if you're doing video as well, because obviously you need to make this the whole kind of setup look good. But in terms of your microphone, which is probably the number one piece of hardware over and above everything else, the Samsung Q2U is a very much an entry level. Any kind of Rode product, so it's Rode, RODE, the NT USB is a good one for a kind of mid-range. And then there's a whole bunch of much more expensive, what you might term professional grade quality microphones out there. But I would recommend just getting onto Amazon, looking for maybe Rode is a good one if you're looking to kind of not have to buy two and trade up. Maybe just go straight for the mid-range if you want to go beyond your phone or your desktop. But as soon as you do that, your sound quality and the quality production levels, even without detailed multi-track, multi-channel editing, is going to improve profoundly. Okay, so we've recorded our first piece of audio. We've clipped it, top and tailed it. We've kind of made sure that we've got it all nicely kind of set up. How do you then get it out there? Because you've got this audio file and all this video file, and it's kind of sat on your computer, and you're thinking, okay, but I'm the only one who can hear this. How do I kind of distribute it? Well, what you want to do is you want to go for somewhere that allows you to distribute everywhere you want to, but only load it up once. Okay, so Libsyn is a good one for distribution, and that has excellent analytics. The one though I go for is podcasters.spotify.com, which is part of the Spotify family. It used to be called Anchor, which is where I first started using it, but Anchor was bought by Spotify, and so it's now podcasters.spotify.com. It's free, totally free. So it's free hosting, and it's automatically distributed the video and all audio in the right way to all the channels that you select. And that will be the big ones: Google, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, of course, plus others that you can select in a little tick box menu that gets presented when you set up your account. And that's it. You literally load it up, the audio and or video file. Load it up to the system. You put in a title, which obviously can be, related to the campaign or the series or whatever that you're doing. You put in some show notes, much as you would any kind of social post. So you can put links into the show notes. You obviously do a description. If it's a longer form, say up to 50 to 60 minutes, you might want to do at certain points do a little kind of scripted list of when certain points in the particular podcast where things happen. And put then the time stamp as to when those things happen. So it could be 23 minutes and 7 seconds in to get to this point, 37 minutes and 2 seconds in to get to this point, so that people can kind of selectively go to certain points in the podcast, making it easier for them. And then you literally press publish, and within moments, you are then live producing, your radio station globally on the web. So you're there, you've done it, you've launched your first podcast. And I genuinely can promise you it is as easy as that. It is no more complicated than everything that I've just done and said. But what you're doing then is you're relying on being found. And of course, as we say, there are some 2 million podcasts out there. So you've now got to start to think about how you can build a communication strategy and or integrate this in with your existing comms and campaigns. Maybe you're going to be putting this on your out on your socials. Maybe you're going to put this on your website as a dedicated page as you start to build up the series, maybe adding in other podcast episodes. So what can be a very good and effective way of doing this, and I'm certainly finding this works well, is to create some shorts and some reels, so both video and audio, and share these as highlights on your social media. And then engage with listeners through comments. That's a key one as well. So as people kind of feedback to you the things that they like and the things that they're enjoying, make sure that you thank them, all the typical things that you would do in social engagement, but also then keep a log of that feedback, because that is going to inform your next series or your upcoming episodes and the scripts that you do. Because if you find that people are dropping out of a particular style of episode, at a particular point and you're finding actually nobody gets beyond 18 minutes on this particular podcast. Now, I wonder why that is. Then you know you've added the value in those first 18 minutes, or that there was something around about the 17-minute point that turned people off. So again, much as you would with any other form of marketing, you keep really, really close to it. You keep watching it, and that's going to be really important. So it is about integrating with existing marketing comms. So strategically, you're looking like featuring this in your email newsletters if you do those. You can embed episodes in your blog posts. Obviously, as we said earlier, cross-promoting with related content on your social media channels. I mean, really integrating your podcast into your marketing mix, because this is in itself going to amplify your content reach, but also deepening the engagement across all platforms. Because as soon as people know that there's a podcast available, you've differentiated, you've kind of added a next layer, if you like, of value to the whole experience. You're not just doing social media, which is still what probably all of your competitors are doing. You've taken it on to the next level. So that's when it gets really interesting. So let's look at some examples of people who are kind of way ahead of all of us here in this game. So let's look at the first one, which is the Gary V audio experience. I've already mentioned Gary Vaynerchuk here and his particular podcast. This is one of the old school podcasts, but still so relevant for all of us marketers, hosted by Gary V, who, if you don't know him, is an entrepreneur, CEO, and the head of VaynerMedia, which is one of the fastest growing digital agencies on the planet. And Gary knows a thing or two about content creation. His podcast is well worth following if you don't know this. There's a mix of things like Ask Gary V, where there's a Q&A kind of thing that is all part of some of the consultancy services that his agency offers. He does a lot of keynote, very high level keynote speeches. He does interviews, and there's some original content in there as well. And he's covering things like marketing, business, new technologies like Web3 and the metaverse. So there's a whole host of things there that you can learn from. And certainly, if you kind of resonate with his style, he is going to be on your watch list in terms of, great podcast practice, as well as actually really useful marketing content too. Another good one for marketers is the Social Media Marketing Podcast with Michael Stelzner. And he's the founder of Social Media Examiner, which is and has been for many, many years, one of the world's leading sites for social media news. You may well have found it and used this one yourself. There's a lot of expert interviews and tips to optimize social media strategies. So again, you can get a real feel for how to be a thought leader from listening to a lot of Michael's content there. And again, as a marketer, you're going to really get value from the latest trends and platform updates, which will keep you on the cutting edge of socials. So again, that can be one well worth subscribing to as well. One that I particularly like is the Marketing Companion podcast with Mark Schaefer. This is, again, conversations and interviews with marketing experts on a wide range of more general kind of marketing topics. But he's particularly now focusing in, much as I do, I think, a lot on the kind of emerging trends like AI in marketing and metaverse, which helps you to prepare for the future. So this is going to support any kind of forward-looking marketing technologies or strategies that you have. And again, there's a thought leadership theme coming through here in Mark's podcast as much as Gary V's as well. So you can kind of see how these guys are really almost best practice, because they're pitching themselves in a particular kind of zone, if you like, and then identifying that and backing it up with sort of other kinds of content that are coming from their other channels too. Jim Stengel does the CMO podcast, and he's the former CMO of Procter & Gamble. So you can imagine this one is delivering, high-level insights, and a lot of respected sources and resources will help you if you're doing any marketing planning to inform your marketing strategy. So this is very much about the strategic side of marketing, and this CMO podcast will give you a perspective on the evolving role of marketing leadership, growth, business development, and kind of high-end strategy. So some great kind of backstories and back interviews here, which again, I would well sort of recommend that you follow up on and watch. There's another one as well, is if you're particularly interested in the emerging technologies, the one that I kind of follow. And this one has actually been kind of rebranded, or is going through the process of rebranding. It's currently called the AI Breakdown. That is how you will find it. But if you're watching this or listening to this particular webinar on catch up, and you're not here live with me today in this session, it may well be called something different at this point that you're listening to it. But right here today, as we're talking here live, the AI Breakdown is a great one for daily news analysis covering everything on AI. So if AI is your thing and you're looking to see how it's going to impact creativity, work, and marketing, then the AI Breakdown is a really good one. The guy does a little soundbite of the news of the day, and it really is a daily news breakdown. It's a daily news bulletin, but there's a kind of a 2 to 3 minute breakdown of everything that's happening in the day. And then he does a deeper dive on one particular topic, and that one's updated daily. So if you want a daily feed of all things AI technology and their implications, then the AI Breakdown is a great one to follow. And of course, I've got to give myself a little shameless plug here with the Neil Wilkins podcast. And I took a little lead here. I said, rather than say what I am, I thought, hey, ChatGPT, do you want to tell me what I am? And it very, very kindly said, hosted by Neil Wilkins, a mindful marketing expert and consultant. So thank you, ChatGPT. Those are GPT's words, not mine, I hasten to add. I thought I'd better put that bit in. But basically, the themes that you'll find on this one, if you don't already listen to the interviews that I'm doing with a whole host of digital marketing, AI, metaverse marketing, and sustainability experts. They help me to be able to share with you insights to help you balance personal and professional development. I love doing my podcast. You know, I had to put it into the list just because I've got so much stuff. I know if you're listening to this or watching this, will resonate with you. So please, yeah, do follow and subscribe. And as always, if there's any kind of content or particular topics that you'd like me to cover or get some interview guests in to share their insights on, I'm more than welcome to go and welcome you to share, you know, what you need and what you would suggest would be good hot topics right now. And I will go and find those guests and get them on the show. So open invitation, please, if you're watching this live now, or if you are watching on catch up. Yeah, that's an open invitation. And you can find me at Neil Wilkins X or neil@marketingcollege.com if you do have any ideas. So to round off then, hopefully this has been helpful to give you some ideas about where to begin. So a step-by-step guide just to really summarize what we've talked about here to starting up your own podcast. And remember, we said it is about beginning small. So figure out, let's kind of get an idea at step one, the concept. What do I want to be talking about? What kind of theme could I run with? And if you've already got some content themes or thought leadership, that's what it's about. Then it's planning. So plan maybe a very short series and get the first three episodes of that series. Call them a pilot if that's appropriate to kind of take the pressure off of you. You don't want to be sort of putting pressure on that says, oh, I've got to be 100% perfect. You don't. You just have to get started. And if you look at some of Gary Vee's early examples, and he often refers back to those, he said, I'm paraphrasing, but he says, I was tragic back in those early days compared to what I'm capable of doing now. So he's brutally honest. And I would say, yeah, that reflects my experience too. Just getting started is the way to start. Step two is to think about your equipment and software setup. So remember, it is about kind of a quiet space, and noise dampening and sound dampening is the key here. Think about your software setup as well. So if you do need to edit or clip stuff, get some of those very, very basic sort of audio and video softwares to enable you to do that little basic editing. Start recording your first episode. Don't expect it to be perfect. It won't be, but you've made a start, and that puts you ahead of everybody who's not starting. Distribute it. We talked about, obviously, the distribution networks, and my go-to recommendation would be podcasters.spotify.com, and that will get it out there. And then, having distributed it, it is also about you then deciding where you're going to promote it. And as part of that, I would say also thinking about, where does it sit in your target customer's journey? In other words, is it at the awareness stage? You want to get more of your target customers. Is it around the conversion stage, where you're trying to build trust with people who haven't quite got over the line and purchased from you or signed the contract? So it's in the conversion phase to build their trust and help your credibility. Or is it something you offer up to existing customers, almost as a sort of a VIP loyalty thing, to build advocacy and encourage them to keep coming back and engaging with you? By giving your podcast a job description and saying, this is where it sits in my customer's journey, that will also help you to refine and filter down the kind of content that's going to be relevant to it. Remember, we said it's all about niching down, getting really specific and targeted. Don't go broad, you'll get lost. It'll be too generic. Keep things specific. By doing it with that customer journey in mind, it really helps you to get really, really focused and targeted. So that can be really good. And the final thing then is really about measuring success and feedback. As you go through this, it's going to be really key to just remembering that you're going to be learning as you go, onwards and onwards, each episode, just learning, getting the experience, getting that confidence to do more, really listening to the feedback that you get, both from any guests that you might interview, but also from the engagement that you do or don't get from the feedback from your listeners. And if you don't get too much feedback, if the numbers are not that high, if you're loving the journey, the key tip is to continue. Because this is a channel that is going to be creating hugely valuable legacy content that is yours forever. So when it comes to audio content, which, when people are doing voice search, when people in the future are looking for content that has really got some credibility, podcast content is not going to go out of fashion anytime soon. So you are already ahead in the SEO stakes by doing this. And of course, if your show notes and descriptions for each show really, really kind of thoughtfully produced, they're search engine optimized as well, so you know you're using all the key phrases, then the success will come in time. So be super patient. Don't expect overnight success. You might get it, but do be in it for the long haul. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy the incredible interviews and conversations and engagement you're going to have with people who come onto your podcast. That, for me, is the reason I keep going with this. And you will potentially get invited back onto theirs too. So there's almost like this little podcast community that starts to build. So when we say measure success and feedback, yes, it can be tangible ROI, but it can also be some of the softer things. It's that feel-good association with this content, with the experiences, and with those conversations that can actually make it just really worthwhile in its own right. So be in it for the long haul. Experiment, play, and just always be on there for really, really learning it. So good luck. I wish you all the best. Do subscribe to my podcast, the Neil Wilkins Podcast, and of course, Cambridge Marketing Podcast as well, which offers, you know, very similar, very kind of complementary podcast content as well. And if you do decide to go down this journey and create a podcast, whether you're listening to this live or watching this on catch up, do share with me your podcast. I'd love to follow it. So, you know, having gone through this little journey together already, I'd love to be listening and tracking how you go. So share with me either through socials at Neil Wilkins X or directly with neil@marketingcollege.com, and I'll follow you if you follow me. So best of luck. Hope you found this useful, and hope you really, really enjoy your life with podcasts.